listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at www.svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you in peace this day from Jesus the Christ, who comes to us in this Lenten season in peace. Amen. What are the thoughts that keep you up at night? I think those thoughts that keep us up at night give us great insight into what is important to us, what really concerns us, what must be confronted in the days that are to come. The thoughts that come to us at night are some of the most honest moments of our daily lives. What are the insights that come to you in the wee hours of the morning? The ideas like a skittish deer that creeps up to the creek at dawn. One sound, one distraction, and they're gone again. Do you ever write those ideas down? Do you ever keep a pen by your bed and jot those things down? I don't like waking up in the middle of the night. I feel like I have to get back to sleep, you know, because the next day, you know, I got big things to do. And so it's always been a sort of a frustrating thing, and my mind starts turning. Those thoughts come to me in the middle of the night. I shared once before that I had a friend, a colleague, and actually she served as a pastor to me during my internship here in St. Louis, who she loved waking up in the middle of the night when something would wake her up. I was complaining to her one time about having one of these nights, you know, oh, I didn't sleep very well, I had some thoughts and I couldn't go back to sleep, and she just said, oh, don't you just love those nights? And I said, what? She said, oh, I just love those nights. She said, I think of them as a gift from God. That silence that we don't get during the day, that chance to be at peace, truly. The whole house is quiet. She said, sometimes I get up, I'll just sit in the darkness, or sometimes I'll just kind of walk through the quiet house. She had little kids, you know, and so she was used to noise always around her. But she just loved those nights. She considered them a gift. I always try to think about her when I have those nights of waking up and the mind is churning, and I try to remember her perspective. Nicodemus had one of those nights. Nicodemus must have had one of those nights. I wonder if he couldn't sleep. I wonder if he had been pacing around his fancy Pharisee home. You see, this episode from chapter 3 follows another very famous episode in John chapter 2, where Jesus overturns the tables in the temple. And Nicodemus had witnessed all that. So these were the thoughts that were turning in his head that night. Jesus also said, you destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll rebuild it. He said that in chapter 2 as well. These are the thoughts that are churning in Nicodemus' head. So he comes to Jesus because he can't sleep. I think of Nicodemus, you know, this is an inside crowd here. I don't see any new first-timers, long-time Lutherans sitting among us today. Or you've been part of this congregation for a long time. Nicodemus is about the long-time Lutherans, the long-time faithful ones who have been coming for years and years and have known how it should be done. And Jesus does this. He overturns the tables. He changes everything. He throws a wrench in the way that it's always been done. I think Nicodemus could tell stories about all the councils that he had served on, all the soup suppers that he had attended, all the famous, you know, the Jewish equivalent to all our famous Lutheran dishes. His words and actions actually ought to be keeping Jesus up at night. He's the old teacher. Jesus is the young guy in his 30s. Know anybody like Nicodemus? Are you like Nicodemus? The good salt of the earth, Lutherans, is the type of people that Nicodemus was like, especially in John's gospel. Pharisees get a bad rap in Matthew's gospel. In John's gospel, they were just good, honest teachers most of the time. There was a formula for being religious, and Nicodemus knew it. But something had rocked his safe, familiar world. There was something that shook him that day before, and he needed to iron it out. He needed to just smooth it over. He probably just misunderstood what had happened, what Jesus said. So he crept out of his house. He made an appointment with Jesus in the middle of the night. He met under the cover of darkness. Just to check, that couldn't be what you meant, was it, Jesus? Just a little one-time, one-on-one meeting ought to do the trick. Are we long-time Lutheran types ever cupped up at night by Jesus like that? Could we, who have been here many years, who have heard the message of salvation thousands of times, week after week, who have sung the hymns of the faith and sampled the potluck suppers and the congregational meetings through the years, like Nicodemus, really have anything to learn from one of the most popular passages of all of Scripture, John 3:16, which we read today? You know, on a few occasions, I've had people come and say to me, regulars after church will say, you know, that was great. I wish so-and-so could have been here to hear that today. That would have been really good for them. And I think I understand the sentiment. I think it comes from a loving place for those who were maybe concerned about, who are going through a difficult time. They may be lost or confused. And so, yeah, maybe so. That would be a good message for them to hear. It's almost as if John 3:16, for example, isn't really for the good, long-time church people anymore. We've heard it. We've heard it. We wish all those others could hear it. But God so loved the world is for all of us. God so loved the world is a passage for all of us. There is more room for all of us to grow in faith. And what that means is more room for all of us to hear again and hear anew the message of God's love and salvation, which has been prepared for all. Søren Kierkegaard, Danish theologian. Søren Kierkegaard said that the hardest people to reach with the gospel are Christians. The hardest people to reach with the gospel are Christians. Either we think we already know it, maybe like Nicodemus, or we just can't seem to trust that this gift of God's love and God's grace is for us too. The gifts of God are life in the Spirit, unconditional love and grace in the face of our faults. In other words, the gifts of God are rebirth. That is the gift from God, and that's what Jesus discusses with Nicodemus under this cover of darkness. And rebirth, I should say, is really all about baptism, being reborn, born in water and the Spirit. Look at the picture on the cover of your bulletin this morning. Wonderful picture. Being reborn, water and the Spirit. It was always a reference to being made new in Christ by water and the Spirit. In other words, it was always a reference to baptism. And it was only in the 20th century, the middle part of the 20th century in the United States, when some Christians turned rebirth, being reborn, into a formula for salvation. You see, they felt that Christianity was being threatened by scientific inquiry and the wake of the Enlightenment. So they started talking and making their own threats about being born again as a formula for salvation, to avoid the fires of hell. Rebirth in Christ's love has nothing to do with that, though. In John's gospel, there are passages about fires, but not in John's gospel. John's gospel is a gospel about love and God's love. And God's love not just for you and for me and for other long-time members of the church. God's love is for everyone. For the world. God so dearly loves, the Greek word is actually cosmos. Cosmos. God so dearly loves the whole cosmos. And when we trust that that is true, when we trust, then our life, life in the Spirit, becomes ours. Salvation starts right here and right now. It doesn't start after we die. When we trust that God so loves this whole world, we are free to live in Christ, and that starts now. And it's not just a surface joy. It's a deep joy that starts now. Let this Lent be a time of quieting ourselves to hear anew that message of God's love and God's forgiveness. It's a difficult thing to do, to quiet ourselves and to hear that message of God's love and forgiveness. Like a sleepless night, it's hard to welcome that and then receive this gift in a new way. Sometimes those of us church folks have the hardest time receiving gifts, don't we? I mean, we're used to giving gifts. We're used to being generous with others. We talk about it all the time. But this gift of God's love and God's grace is a gift that we can only stand and receive and then respond to with our acts of love and service in the world. One of the great themes of Lent, I think, is always this theme of being honest before God. As we discipline ourselves to make the change, to make the turns of this season, as we turn back to God, it starts with being honest. Talked on Wednesday night about the soil, you know, needing to turn and it starting down deep inside of us first. And lots of times I think honesty starts in the darkness, by the cover of night. I think the darkness is a real gift. When I was a little boy, it was about that time, apparently, that Mom thought it was important to have a talk with me about the birds and the bees, the sex talk. And I remember the way that she did it was she came into my room after bedtime. I mean, we had just said our goodnights. She had left the room. And then before I even started to fall asleep, she came back in. So the lights were out, prayers were said. And she came back in, and my room at that time had two twin beds in it. And she came back into my room, and I was on the one bed, and I didn't have, my brother wasn't in the room with me, but so that bed was empty. So she laid down on the other bed, and then she proceeds to have this talk with me in the cover of darkness. She laid down on the other twin bed and talked to me about sex as a wonderful gift of God, perhaps the most wonderful thing about being a human being. And therefore, she didn't say these words, but she made it into something that ought to be revered. I remember picking that up, not something that's cheapened or treated, you know, in a degrading way. That sounds wonderful, but as a prepubescent boy, I remember feeling very awkward about that conversation with my mother still, you know. But we were covered by darkness. And I think back on that, what a gift that was, that she made that decision to do that by the cover of darkness. And we could be honest, I didn't have to look right at my mother and listen to her, or she didn't have to look and see me blushing. You know, it was this wonderful thing, this cover of darkness. It's just one example of how I think darkness can be a gift. And there's some real insight to Jesus and Nicodemus having this conversation by the cover of night. Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, a longtime member of the religious community, is actually maybe even agreeing with some of the things he's hearing and seeing Jesus say and do. And you can talk about that in a safe place. Nighttime, darkness, it's not just for wickedness and deceit, as it's often imagined. You know, darkness has these negative connotations, but it can also be a gift, a place to be honest before God. I like to think about pillow talk with the Almighty. I know many of us talk to God in the middle of the night. In the safety and silence of night, we can say, God, here I am. I'm scared. I'm a sinner. You know my thoughts and my wrongdoings, and you love me anyway. Mold me again, God. Recreate me. Make this safe space a place of regrowth and transformation. In the cover of night, reshape me again to be the daughter or the son that you have made me to be. Give me courage to do the right thing. Give me wisdom. Give me the willingness to trust in you. Help me with this difficult thing called opening my hands and trusting in you. And God responds to us once again. I so love you, and I so love this world. Trust and know that I am your God. I will not forsake you, though the mountains be moved, though the tidal waves come crashing. I will never fall asleep. I will never forsake you. My peace I give to you, the beautiful peace that comes at nighttime, the deep peace that resides in our hearts. My peace I give to you, and I will love you and the world in which you live always and through it all. Turn back to me, says God. Amen.
all of us at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit www.elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.